Okay, Book of Colossians, chapter number 3. It's a real honor for me to be here tonight. I appreciate Brother Farrell extending me the invitation to come. And I feel humbled to be here. I say that sincerely. I've been around your pastor a number of times, heard him preach a number of times. And he's a much better preacher than me. So what you're going to hear this week is going to be not near as good as what you're used to. And then I had the privilege of meeting Brother Hall tonight, and through a friend of mine who's with the Lord now, I knew of Brother Hall, Brother A.J. McClure. Used to speak highly of Brother Hall, and so it's a real privilege to meet him, and I just thank the Lord to get to see the Millers again, get to hear them sing. I've known Brother Mike a number of years, always been a blessing to me. Every time I've been around him, get to hear him preach and sing. So it's a real blessing to see him tonight. Colossians chapter number 3, and I'm going to begin the reading with verse number 17. The Bible said, "In whatsoever ye do," and notice it's on the individual here.
Right.
A lot of people spend a lot of their Christian life worried about the other person.
That's right.
And you know, you just need to get our attention on ourselves.
Right.
What are we doing for the Lord?
Amen.
Or what we're not doing that we need to be doing.
Yes.
Amen. So the Bible said, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing, we all ought to know this, knowing that of the Lord we shall receive the reward of the inheritance." Notice the reward there is connected with the Lord, not man. Amen. So it's not of man we're going to receive the reward to be doing what God wants us to do. It comes from the Lord.
That's right.
And a lot of people, myself included, down through the years, get that confused.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So the Bible said, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." For ye serve the Lord Christ. So whatever you do, God said, I look at that as being a service unto me if you're doing it the right way.
Right.
Doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're on the job, in the home, in the church.
That's
whatever
right.
You're doing, God looks at it as being a service unto Him. Somebody said, "I want to serve the Lord." We'll go back home and get started.
Amen.
Or go back on the job and get started.
Right.
That's what the Bible is saying here.
Right.
So the Bible said, "And whatsoever you do," verse number 23, "you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive." So we're going to receive either way.
Right.
We do right, we're going to receive good things. If we do wrong, we're going to receive not so good things. But we're all going to receive.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
So we're all going to get something from God. I like to get the good thing from God.
Amen.
Not the bad thing. Amen. "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons."
Right.
Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter, you know, what you think about yourself.
Yep.
You and I don't impress God outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. If we were not in Jesus Christ, accepted in Him, we would have no place in God's presence. So God, what He does with all of us, He does without respect of persons.
Amen.
Now, it's hard for us to do everything without respect to persons.
Right.
I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's hard.
Yep.
Most of us, even if we don't realize it or not, from time to time we show respect one above another.
Right.
But God doesn't do that, amen.
Right.
God deals with all men justly.
Amen.
Just like He said He would. So the Bible said, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done." Let me say this, you're here tonight maybe and you're going, going around doing things you shouldn't do, thinking you're getting by. You're not getting by.
Right.
You're going to receive, and I'm going to receive for every wrong thing that we do. God said it, and God's going to see to it that it comes our way. Amen. So the Bible said we're going to, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there's no respect of persons. Then in chapter number 4, notice these few verses in chapter number 4. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So notice the word knowing there again. That's another thing God wants us to never lose sight of. We have a master in heaven. It's God Almighty. Amen. And it doesn't matter how far up on the totem pole you might be, you know, on the job in your home, there is someone far above you called God, and he is all of our masters. Amen. Masters, given to your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And then Paul says this, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. All right, we'll stop the reading there with verse number 5. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I'd ask you to keep your Bibles open. And I want to talk to you for a little bit tonight from these verses that God's laid upon my heart. And this is just a very basic, simple, practical message. Hopefully it'll be a help to you in some way. But I want to start in verse number 22 just to kind of have a launching point for the message tonight. And notice he's talking here about obeying in all things to the servants that existed back in these days. Of course, we don't have masters and servants today in our country, but we do have employees and employers. We all have people that we work for and work for now and that are over us. So the Bible said here, if you're working for somebody and you've got a boss over you and you're working for a company and they give you responsibilities on the job, the Bible said, servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Now, if you hire in on a job, doesn't matter what that job entails, if you willingly hired in, you ought to do what they tell you to do.
Amen.
Amen. And if you don't like the job and you don't like the pay, then you don't have to be there.
Right.
There's nobody making you be there. But if you're there, you ought to obey what that man that hired you to do a job, whatever he says that job involves, you ought to do it. That's
Amen.
What the Bible said. And the Bible said here, verse number 22, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. Or in other words, don't be the kind of person that somebody's got to stand over you and watch you all the time to get you to do right. Amen. Whether you're a child, whether you're a husband or wife, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a church member, whether you're somebody that works on the job, God said when it comes to what you need to be doing in all those areas, don't you be the kind of person that somebody's got to stand over you and be watching you in order for you to do what you ought to be doing at that time.
Amen.
And so the Bible said here, don't be someone that has to give eye service as a men pleaser, because you need to understand God wants you to be doing whatever you're doing from the heart. And you ought to be doing it as unto the Lord, not necessarily for the person that you're working for, not necessarily for the person that you're married to or the people that you deal with, though you're doing things for them. But you ought to be doing what you do, whether it is as a man on the job, a husband in the house, a wife in the house, a parent in relation to your children, a church member in the church, whatever your responsibility is. You ought to be doing it as unto the Lord from your heart. And if you're doing it as unto the Lord from your heart, it doesn't matter whether the preacher's watching you. It doesn't matter whether mama's watching you, daddy's watching you, whether the boss is watching you. It doesn't matter, because you know in your heart God is watching you. And that's what really matters. Amen. That's what really matters, to know that God is watching everything that we do. Now, He talked about there in verse number 22 and verse number 23. The Bible emphasizes two times you ought to be doing whatever you're doing in singleness of heart, and you ought to be doing it heartily as unto the Lord. Or in other words, whatever you do, your heart ought to be in it.
Right.
Amen. You ought to be giving your heart to this service, whatever that service involves. and you ought to have your heart in it. Do you know if you've got your heart in it, no matter what the task is, no matter what the responsibility that you've got placed upon you that you need to be doing, it makes it a lot easier to do that thing if your heart's in it. Amen. You know, when we struggle with our responsibilities, whether it's on the job, in the home, in the church, you know, when we really struggle, when somehow our heart is no longer in what we're doing. You know what God's looking at? God's looking at not just that we go through the motions of performing a task or responsibility. God is looking to see whether our heart is in it. That's why Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." And when we don't have the joy of the Lord in our heart in serving Jesus, we're not going to have much strength to do what God wants us to do. The psalmist said, "I delight to do thy will, O God." Jesus said, "I want you to love me with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength." Somebody said, "You can't do that. You can't love God with all of your heart." Well, you need to tell Jesus that, because he's the one who told us we ought to be doing it. Amen. So I believe if Jesus said we can do it, we can do it by the grace of God. I know it's not in ourselves, but by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the strength of God, by Christ in us, the hope of glory, we can do all things that are pleasing unto the Lord if we want to. But the primary thing that God wants us to do, it's like he said in the book of Proverbs, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." We got a lot of Christians got that backward. They're trying to observe the ways of God without first giving God their heart. Give God your heart, amen, and his ways won't be as hard to follow. But when we're not giving God our heart, I mean, we struggle with his ways. And it becomes our way, not God's way, because our heart's not in it. God wants our heart in it. Amen. You know what the Word of God does? The Word of God preached in the power of the Holy Ghost, it deals with the heart of men. It's the only thing I know in this world that can deal with the heart of men. It's the Word of God. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces down to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of what? The heart. Hallelujah. You know what the Word of God will do this week? If you give it a fair hearing and an honest hearing, it'll deal with your heart. It'll deal with the heart issues that we've got in our life. And you know what we need God to deal with? We need God to deal with our heart. When's the last time the Word of God got a hold of your heart? Amen. When's the last time the Spirit of God spoke to your heart? I'm not talking about speaking to your mind and your intellect. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God getting down in your heart and God stirring your heart for Jesus and his kingdom and his righteousness. Amen. When's the last time you got excited in your heart over Jesus Christ? And wanted to do something from the heart. Right? Amen. So the Bible said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Not as a man pleaser with eye service, but fearing God. Right. Now, you say, "Brother Jeff, what does God want us to do?" Well, he tells us in the context here. It's pretty simple in this context. He wants you wives to submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Sure. Amen. Some of these women across the country, it's amazing how nice and how submissive they are to other men other than the one they're married to.
Right.
You know what God said? God said, "Don't worry about these other men. You need to concentrate on the one you're married to. Submit to your own husband." Amen. And these men that are trying to run these other women's lives, these women don't belong to you. They belong to God and the one they're married to. They're to submit to their own husband. Not me or you that's not married to them. They have enough trouble submitting to the one they're married to. Much less somebody they're not married to. Amen. Don't put more on them than they can bear. Yeah. So wives, what God wants you to do, he wants you to submit to your own husband.
Right.
So are you married tonight? Here's what God's will is for your life as a woman. Submit to your husband.
Right.
Well, he's not as smart as me. So what?
Amen.
He doesn't know as much as I do. Who cares?
Right.
God doesn't.
Right.
God said he might be dumb as a box of rocks. But God said, if you're married to him, I want you to submit to him. Amen. He doesn't have to be smarter than you and know more than you for you to submit to him. He's just got to be your husband. And if he's your husband and you said, "I do," whether you think you did right when you did it or not, it's too late now. God said, submit to your own husband. Amen. And you know what God said? Just don't submit to your own husband. Do it heartily.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Is your heart in it, ladies?
Amen.
I'm going to do it because I have to do it. Oh, you missed the whole purpose of what God's saying here. You think that's going to help your home? Just because you're submitting outwardly, because you have to, but your heart's not in it, and your heart's full of rebellion, and you resent the fact that you have to submit to your husband. You think that's really going to help your life and help your marriage? Submitting that way? That's not how God wants a woman to submit to her husband. God wants a woman to submit to her husband as if her husband was Jesus. As unto the Lord. Heartily, amen. Well, I can't do it because he's just so whatever. Well, can you do it for Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. If Jesus was in your home, could you submit to him? Well, Jesus said, that man you're married to, submit to him just like it was me. You say, I cannot do that. How about asking God to give you a little faith then? Maybe a whole lot of faith. Maybe you need the faith of Abraham. Being strong in faith, giving glory to God. You may be married as a woman to such a scoundrel. It's going to take strong faith on your part as a woman to submit to your husband heartily like God said, as unto the Lord. Amen. Isn't this Bible wonderful? I mean, you dear ladies ought to be shouting right now. I don't understand why some of you aren't running the aisles saying, hallelujah, Brother Jeff. I never heard you preach, but that's the greatest truth I ever heard. Submitting to my husband heartily is unto the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, men, before we get too excited about our wives, you know, God comes back and says this, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Well, you don't know my wife. You don't know what she's done to me. You don't know how hard she is to live with. It doesn't matter. You don't have a right to be bitter against her. Think about how you failed Jesus Christ. Think about how you let Jesus Christ down. Think about how hard it must be for Jesus Christ to get along with you. Amen. And put up with you and your nonsense. Amen. And I'm glad, hallelujah, he's not bitter against us. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible said he loves us with an everlasting love. Amen. The Bible said having love of his own, he's not bitter against us. Amen. He loves us. And there's no change in his love. Hallelujah for that.
Amen.
I want to say praise God for that. And so the Bible said, love your wives. Even when you're upset at her, love her as Christ loved the church. And give yourself to her and for her. Amen. Be willing to die for her every day of your life. Amen. You say she's not worth it. Are you worth dying for? Were you worth the blood of the Son of God, Jesus, shedding his blood on Calvary? I don't think so. But hallelujah, out of love, he did it anyways. He didn't do it because we are worthy of his love. He did it because he loves us.
Amen.
Your wife shouldn't have to earn your love. And your wife shouldn't have to deserve your love. Now, you might have a wonderful wife. Praise God if you do. You might have the best wife in America. I hope you do.
Amen.
Amen. That makes it a whole lot easier. You really don't have an excuse if you're married to a woman like that. Amen. You ought to be loving on her all the time and never being bitter against her. But there may be a reason why the Bible said, men, don't get bitter against your wife. Because every now and then, that little root of bitterness might show up in your heart towards your wife.
That's right.
You say, what in the world would I have to get bitter at my wife for? I don't know. Maybe because she married someone like you. Who knows? But the Bible said, so wives, submit yourselves to your husband. Husbands, love your wife. And then children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing the Lord. God calls upon children to obey your parents in all things.
That's right.
Not picking and choosing.
Yep.
This is not the buffet bar. I'll take that. I won't take
that.
God said, whatever your parents tell you to do, if you're a child that's honoring God, you ought to obey everything they ask you to do, whether you think it's right, whether you think it's reasonable. You know, when you're 18, you're smarter than your parents. And then when you get 40 and 50, you realize they're smarter than you ever thought about being. It's amazing how that changes as you get older. Every teenager knows more than their parents. I'm 60 years old. If you're a teenager, you know what it's like to be 60? Well, you don't know everything yet. You might almost know everything, but you don't know everything yet. I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot better being 18 than 60 physically. I will tell you that. You better enjoy your youth while you've got it, and don't despise it, amen. Thank God for the days of your youth. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure. You know what? As you get older, a lot of times because of things that happen in your body, none of it being any good. As you get older, you wake up in the morning and you go through the day, and there's no good thing physically that you can rejoice in other than Jesus is inside of you. You hurt every way you can imagine. You creak and groan. You've got pains from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. You don't feel good. You don't know what it is to feel good. You've not had a feel-good day in X number of years. But hallelujah, if you know Jesus Christ, you're saved by the grace of God. One of these days you get to lay this old body down and see Jesus in eternity and get a new body. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. I'm glad I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm born again. Praise God. So children, you got to obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Amen. You know, some parents, they never can encourage their kids. It's always putting them down. See, if you put a kid down, it's kind of like us. If God would mark our iniquities like He could be condemning us 24/7.
Yes, sir.
Because we come so short of the glory of God every day. But you know, if God did that, if God never encouraged us as His children, we would despair and we would just get discouraged and think there's no way that I can please God. There's no way that I can ever come up to God's standard. And God said, fathers, you got to be careful. You got to deal with your kids when they're wrong, but you can't stay on them all the time and never encourage them, because they're going to get discouraged and just give up. Man. So the Bible said, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Daddy never has anything good to say about me. Never has anything good to say about what I'm doing. He's always put me down. He's always telling me how I'm wrong. You may need to stay on him a lot, but you got to balance that somehow with some encouraging words. Amen. So the Bible said, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. We then saw that. Now here's what he said in verse number 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. All right? You know what God said? God said, wives, submit yourself unto your husband. You say, I try to submit myself unto my husband all the time. I try to do the best I can as a wife in submitting myself to my husband. It doesn't do any good. He still treats me like I'm nothing. I'm dirt. Or you might be a husband. And God said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And you may say, Brother Jeff, I try to love my wife as Christ loved the church, but she still doesn't respect me. And she still acts like I'm nothing. That may happen. Amen. Or you may be working a job, and you may do the best you can as unto the Lord on that job. And they don't appreciate your work. They don't appreciate your effort. They don't compensate you fairly. They mistreat you. You know what God said? God said, you have to understand, what I'm asking you to do, what I'm asking you to do from your heart, what I'm asking you to do is unto me. God said, though it has to do with people, you have to understand, you don't necessarily get rewarded from the people that you're doing these things for.
There you go. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a lot of men trying to do right by their wife, and they've just got a bad wife. And there's a lot of women I know, who try by the grace of God to be a good, loving, submissive wife to their husband, and they're still a monster in the way they treat their wife. Amen. And there's a lot of parents trying their best to raise their children the way God wants them to raise their children, only to see some of their children go wrong and do wrong. Amen. And break their mother and daddy's heart. And you know what God said? God said, don't look for your reward to come from your wife. Don't look for it to come necessarily from your husband. Don't look for it to come from your boss. Don't look for it to come from your children. God said, this is what you need to know. The reward comes from me. Amen. Now, if you believe your King James Bible, that's what the King James Bible says. Amen. And you know when the reward comes, not down here at the judgment.
That's right. Amen.
You say, well, I try to do all these things God wants me to do to no avail. It's not getting me anywhere. You've not got to the judgment yet.
Right.
You've not got to payday yet. God says, keep on doing it. God says to the wives, keep on submitting to your husbands, even if they don't appreciate it. Husbands, keep on loving your wives, even if they don't appreciate it. Keep trying to raise your children right. Children, keep trying to obey your parents, even if they don't appreciate you. God said, do it unto me. Do it unto me. Now, here's what God also said. God said, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. You know what God said? God said, if you're a woman and you're married to a man, and in spite of all that you've tried to do through the years being married to him, as far as submit to him and honor him, as your husband, if he just keeps treating you wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong, you know what God said? God said, you don't have to worry about it. He's not got by with that.
That's right.
God said, there's coming a day where all that wrong, every wrong thing he did to you, he will receive for every wrong thing that he did to you.
Exactly right.
Amen. If you're a man and you try to love your wife like Christ loved the church, and for whatever reason, you've just got a bad woman and a sorry wife, and she doesn't respect you as the head of your house, and she doesn't honor you as the head of your house, you know what God said? God said, you keep loving that woman, you keep loving that woman, you keep loving that woman as Christ loved the church, because all that wrong that she's treating you with, there's coming a day when she will receive for every ounce of wrong that she did to you. And you know those children who didn't honor their father and mother, but broke their father and mother's heart and wronged them by their disobedience and rebellion. You know what God says to all those children? Don't think you got by with that, because you didn't get by with that. You put your parents through a lot of heartache and grief and sorrow. You put your parents through a lot of stress and turmoil. God said, there is coming a day when you young people are going to be rewarded for all the wrong that you did to your parents. You have not gotten by with your wrong. And the same way with the person you may work for on the job who has mistreated you, underpaid you, not respected you, in spite of you going above and beyond what was required to do a good job, God said that man who's defrauded you in a lawful way, he's not got by with that.
Yes, sir.
God said they will receive the wrong for what they've done. You believe that? Boy, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Now, he gets to chapter number 4, verse number 1. I want to throw this verse in here. He says, masters, and we don't have any masters and servants in here, so I'm going to apply it like this. All of us have some authority probably over somebody.
Sure.
Amen? So in that sense, you're the master and they're under you as a servant. You may be a parent, you're over your children. You may be a husband, you're the head of your house. You may be the boss on the job. You may be the pastor over the flock. Amen?
Sure.
So everybody has somebody that's under them.
Right?
Now notice what he says here. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. You know what God's saying here? God's saying, look, you masters that have these servants under you, you better not mistreat them.
Right.
Amen. You better be just and fair and equal with how you treat them.
Amen.
And here's the reason why. Knowing that you also have a master who's over you. And so I think the idea is this. God is saying, you need to keep in mind when you're dealing with people under you, that you've got somebody over you and you're under them. And God said, you need to remember when you're dealing with people under you, that I'm over you and I'm watching how you're treating them. And the reason why I'm watching how you're treating them, because that's how I'm going to treat you. Amen. So if you want to mistreat them, you will reap that very same kind of treatment. Amen. If you want to wrong people, I'll see how you like to be wrong. Amen. If you want to be unfair and unjust in the way that you deal with people, God said, I'll let you have a little dose of that. I'll let you have the same kind of stuff that you dish out to others. So God said, I want you to remember, you have a master who's in heaven. You do remember that, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. You remember that? You remember that story in Matthew 8 about that centurion had that servant that was sick and he came to Jesus. He said, Master, I've got a servant back home and he's sick. He's grievously tormented. Would you come and heal him? And Jesus started to his house. And that centurion, he recognized and realized who he was dealing with, the Son of God, the King of Glory. And he stopped Jesus and said, Jesus, I'm a man who's under authority. And I have men who are under my authority. And those men that are under my authority, I say to this one, go, and he goes. And I say to another one, come, and he comes. And I say to another one, do this, and he does that. They're under my authority. He said, Jesus, everything's under your authority. You don't have to come to my house. All you have to do is speak the word. And just like I speak the word to my men, and they obey me, all you've got to do is speak the word to the disease and the sickness that has afflicted my servant, and the disease has got to flee. And you know what Jesus did? He healed him without ever going to his house. He had that much authority. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm telling you, we serve a God who has supreme authority over everybody. And God said, just remember when you're dealing with people under you, just remember you got one over you. Just remember I'm watching you. Just remember. You want to treat them right because you want me to do right by you.
Amen.
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 God's good.
Amen.
Now, look at this little verse. Continue in prayer. Can I ask you something? Are you praying? How much have you prayed for this meeting?
Amen.
How much have you prayed for this meeting?
Yes, sir.
But you know what God said? And this is probably one of the greatest verses on prayer that is overlooked in all the Bible.
Right.
God says, continue in prayer.
Right.
Is there something that you've been praying for a long time, maybe even years, and you've still not seen that prayer answered? It may be a wayward child.
Yep.
Amen. It may be a family member that's breaking your heart, that's away from God, lost out in sin, out in the world. And you've been praying for years and years and years and years to God that God would deal with them and they would get right with God. You know what God says about that petition? God said, I don't care what the devil tells you. I don't care what your heart tells you. I don't care what your feelings tell you. Here's what I'm going to tell you about your praying. And all the praying you've been doing for that matter, God said, continue it.
That's right.
God said, keep praying.
Amen.
God said, don't quit.
Yep.
God said, don't give up.
Yep.
God said, don't stop. God said, don't throw in the towel. God said, if you're praying according to the will of God, though you've been praying a long time without any answers showing up yet, you know what God said? This is not what Brother Jeff says. This is what God is saying to you tonight. Whatever it is you've been praying, it may be revival. It may be a move of God. It may be God to do a work in your home. It may be God to help with a situation. But if you've been praying and praying and praying and still the answer hasn't come, God said, I've not forgotten about you. Just keep on praying. The devil says, what's the use? God says, continue. Continue. Amen. Some of you probably need to go back home tonight and pick up some of those prayers that you laid down some time ago. Because you just got to the point where you felt like, what's the use? God said, there's plenty of reason why you need to keep praying. Amen. You ever read where the Bible said you have need of patience?
Yes, sir.
After that you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You remember where Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin and ceasing to pray.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what's wrong with our churches? We've got a generation of Christians that have quit praying. You never get that from the Bible. Some people used to come to prayer meetings at church. Used to come to Saturday night prayer meetings. Early prayer meetings. Amen. They stopped coming. Who told you to stop coming? Quit coming. God didn't tell you to quit coming. God said continue. Continue. Continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Well, nobody wants to come anymore. God said, I want you to come. God said, I want you to show up. God said, I want you to be there. God said, I'm looking for you to be there.
Amen.
Amen. Continue.
Amen.
How are we doing on that one? We believe in prayer, don't we?
Amen.
Praise God. My house shall be called a house of prayer.
Yes.
You know how it became a den of thieves? We quit praying in it.
Right.
Amen. That's when we lost the power of God.
Yep.
I don't know much, but I know you got to pray, and you got to pray fervently, and you got to pray with clean hands and a pure heart if you're going to see the power of God. And if there's ever been a day we need to see the power of God, it's in the day that we live in. Amen. Because we live in the age where we've got a form of godliness. Everybody knows about God. Everybody knows the Bible. We've got all these preachers. Amen. Everybody knows everything that there is to know. Seemingly about God, but I'm going to tell you what, a lot of people don't know anything about old time Holy Ghost praying, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what Jude talked about, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God, building up yourself on your most holy faith. How in the world are you going to keep yourself in the love of God? How in the world are you going to build yourself up apart from praying, and not just praying, but praying in the Holy Ghost?
Amen. That's right.
When's the last time you had a young person comes to you and say, teach us to pray.
Right.
Teach us to pray. You know why those disciples said that to Jesus? Because they watched him pray.
That's right.
And they realized, based on how he prayed, we don't know nothing about praying.
That's right.
What we call prayer is not prayer compared to his praying.
Right.
You know how you learn about praying? Pray.
Yeah.
That's real deep, isn't it? You know, these guys that go out here and buy all these books on prayers, they'll have a stack of books that big. You know, it'll help them a lot more than read through all those books, plow through all those books on prayer. Just put all those books away and get down on your knees and start praying. Amen. Just get down on your knees and start praying. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, that's why God gave you the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as well. But the Spirit itself helps us to make intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Hallelujah. Great. Holy Ghost praying is not based on the atmosphere. Right. You know, innovative Baptists, they've got to have an atmosphere before they can do anything for God anymore. You know, we got to have a stirring atmosphere. Praise God, it could be twice dead and cold as the Arctic Circle in the service. But you can get down and yield yourself to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God put the fire of God in your bosom and your heart and help you to pray the effectual, fervent prayer. There's never been any praying that's done any good for man or God that wasn't done with fervency behind it. Amen.
Amen.
Fervency. Now, continue in prayer. And then he said, watch. You know what that word watch means? That means, what's the use of praying if you're not watching for God to answer?
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, that's a simple truth, but that's what God's saying. What is the use praying if you're not watching and looking for God to answer?
Amen.
You know what God's saying? God's saying, you be praying, but you also be watching, because the answer may come when you least expect it. Have you ever went before God and said, God, in essence, I'm watching, God. It's been a long time. It's been a long time, Lord, that you told me to continue, but I've not lost faith. Amen. I've not lost hope. I've not lost heart. I still believe you mean exactly what you said in your promises. I'm watching, God. I think it pleases God when we remind Him of what He told us.
Amen.
I'm watching. Just like this meeting. You prayed for the meeting this before we started the meeting. Have you come on the first night looking? Looking. Looking for God. To do something.
Amen.
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 We should.
Sure.
Hallelujah. So he said, continue in prayer, watching this same. But here's a real important part of this. With thanksgiving. You know, if all you dwell on in your praying all the time is your need or what you don't have that you're asking God to give you, you'll despair.
Sure, that's right.
And you know what God said? God said, you got to put some thanksgiving in there.
Amen.
Or in other words, look, whatever you're praying for that God hasn't answered yet, that's one thing. But if you've been saved and you're saved, don't tell me that God's never answered any prayer for you.
Right. Amen.
He's answered a whole lot of prayers.
Amen.
And you know what God said? While you're waiting for God to answer this prayer, thank Him for all the other prayers He's already answered.
Amen.
Amen. How about giving Him a little thanks?
Amen.
That'll help you.
Yes, sir.
That'll help you to continue in prayer.
Right.
That'll help you to keep watching as you pray. Because
right.
You're thinking, God, hallelujah, Lord, I want to give You thanks. You remember when I prayed for that? And You were so faithful and so gracious. And You just blessed me exceeding abundant above everything I was even thinking You was going to do.
Right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. It'll keep some victory in your soul when you're praying if you'll thank God.
Amen. Absolutely. Sure will.
What if we did this? What if we thank God when He answers our prayers as many times as we prayed for God to do something for us? Or in other words, if you prayed for that matter 300 times, why don't you give God 300 times of thanksgiving?
Amen. That's good.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know we do. We pray 300, 400 times, every how many years, months for something, and we may thank God one time.
Right.
That can't be right.
No, sir, you're right.
Come on, our mass got to be better than that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give God a little token thanksgiving, you know.
Yeah.
After the answer comes. Like, here's your thanksgiving, God. Let's go on to the next one.
Yeah.
How about getting excited about what God did for you? Amen.
Amen.
After months, maybe years of waiting upon God, God didn't forget about you. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Yeah, man.
Continue in prayer, watching the same thing. And I'll close with this. With all praying. So with all your praying. See, I don't know what you're praying for, but you got a whole lot of praying you ought to be doing and I ought to be doing. With all your praying, Paul said, praying also for us. Let me say this. Of everything you're praying for in your individual life as a Christian, you ought to be praying for this man of God right here. He ought to be in, there at the top of the list of what you're praying for. And you know what Paul said? And I read a verse like this, and I tell you, it puts me in my place. It reminds me what a sorry Christian I am. And I'll tell you why. Because look at Paul here. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, I'm in bonds. I'm in jail. He's in prison. He's in a Roman jail. A dark, damp, dirty, filthy, rat-infested, cockroach-infested, no plumbing, no toilet, no shower, no sink, no water. Filthy jail cell with bonds on his hands.
Right.
Now, to be honest with you, if I was in that situation and I was praying to God, Paul's saying, I want you people at Colossae, I want you to pray that God would give me an open door.
Amen.
And the open door I would be praying for would be the cell door.
Amen.
That God would open the cell door and just let me walk out like he did Peter.
Amen.
But you know what he's praying for? He's praying that God would open unto him a door of utterance that he could speak, whether it's the captain, whether it's the guards, whether it's the fellow prisoners, whoever's around him. You know what he's praying about? Think about it. He's in prison. He's in bonds. He's got all that hardship. And he is not thinking about his own personal need. You know what he's thinking about? He's thinking about, I need to tell these other men about Jesus. And I want you to pray that God would help me, even in my bonds, even in my darkest hour, I want you to pray that God would open up a door, not to let me out from these circumstances, but a door of utterance that will allow me to keep speaking faithfully and boldly the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in my sorry circumstances. Amen. See, when I read a verse like that, it reminds me of just how spoiled I am.
Yes, sir.
How spoiled I am. But I'm going to tell you what a Spirit-filled believer, what's really on his heart. Doesn't matter where he's at, in his circumstances, how hard it is, how difficult it is. That's not the issue to him. What the issue is, I must tell men and women about the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I don't understand how in a lot of our independent Baptist churches, maybe we've let, you know, the cheap gospel crowd scare us away.
Yep.
But in a lot of our independent Baptist churches, they have quit being a witness.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We've quit going out in the community. And you say, well, nobody's interested. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It does not matter. We ought to be going out telling them about Jesus.
Amen.
And we ought to be concerned about it.
Amen, sir.
And we ought to be praying that God would help us to be a witness out
Amen.
There.
Yes, sir.
Amen. God wants us to be a witness. When's the last time you talked to somebody about the Lord? When's the last time you witnessed, you and I, witness to somebody about the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, nobody's coming to church anymore. Where did God say they ever would come to church?
Yeah.
Amen. He said we're supposed to go out there.
Right.
Christians are supposed to come to church.
Right. Amen.
He said, well, what about all these Christians don't come to church? What about them? Christians are supposed to come to church.
Amen.
They may not be Christians.
Right.
They may not be Christians. You ever think about that?
Amen.
When you get saved, praise God. I was glad when they said it to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. You know what the Lord adds to when He saves a sinner? He adds them to the church.
That's right. Amen.
And I would say this for anybody, if you never got added to the church, I don't know if you got added to the family of God either.
Amen. Good
preaching. Amen.
You're right.
And I'm not trying to be ugly. I know, you know, you don't have to come every time. But I'm telling some of this crowd, you know, they get saved and they come 2 or 3 weeks and then you can't find them with a search warrant. I don't believe they're saved no more than a man in the moon. And I'm not the judge.
Right.
And I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to tell you, I don't have any confidence in them.
Right.
You say, well, they could care less whether you have any confidence in them or not. So, I just said I don't have any confidence in them.
Right.
God. But God is good.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. Serving the Lord from the heart, knowing that of the Lord we shall receive the reward.
Yes.
But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong that he hath done. And there's no respect of persons. And masters, always remember, your master also is in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. May the Lord help you.
Amen.
May the Lord help all of us. God bless you. Thank you for your listening. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these truths. May they be a blessing to these precious people. I pray that you'd help Brother Shepherd as he comes now to close as he sees fit. In Jesus' name, amen.